Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Was Willard Smith playing a character called Jim West in a Western?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Will Smith turned... Will Smith, Wild Wild West, turned down Matrix. Yeah, it could have been Neo.
Seriously?
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
That's very strange they went for Keanu Reeves.
I think Will Smith will look on back on that as an excellent decision.
Yeah, I'm not...
Keanu Reeves will.
Yeah, I could have been Neo, but... Did Keanu Reeves have fun mucking about with Kevin Kline on a mechanical train? No, he didn't.
I wouldn't want to be responsible for a lot of goths wearing really long leather jackets. So.
That is very true.
Can you imagine Will Smith sounds like people going, well, why don't you do Matrix with Neo? Because I did a film with a train with a snooker table in it.
Setting the trend with a mix and a blend, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. You've made it. We're here once again. My name's Marcus and Pete's with me.
Oh, hello. Drink me chocolate milk.
Oh, yeah.
Chocolate
nice.
Chocolate milk.
Luke.
All right.
Jim.
Present.
Jim West.
Desperado.
Different one.
Okay. Yeah. For all this time.
Yeah.
Andy Carroll recently said in an interview, I'm the best chef in the squad, and you can put that in capital letters.
Did he shout that?
Well, I don't have any capital letters on me, Andy, but I thought I'd pronounce it a little bit louder so the capital letters wouldn't fall by the wayside. But from the footballing arena, if you could choose someone to cook for you, who would you choose, Pete Donaldson?
I'd just like to state for the record that Andy Carroll's kitchen must be a really depressing place to cook food.
Why?
The extractor fan, too high, because he'd bang his head on it otherwise. So it wouldn't extract any, so it'll just be oily fumes everywhere.
Just be his hair caught
the
in it.
The knife rack would be too high for anybody else other than Andy Carroll to use. Mm. Horrible place.
Andy Carroll is the same height as me and my kitchen is normal.
He's not the same height as you.
He's an inch taller than Luke Emoa.
Yeah, I mean,
he's not. He's surely taller than that.
Just have a little step for
how come you look different, Luke?
Because
not
I'm
an athlete.
Quite a lot fatter than
okay,
him.
That's right. That's
don't
true.
Put yourself down.
I would go for...
now we've got that out of the way.
I would go for Jeff Shreves, because I endorse him being in any room with a heightened risk of gas leaks.
Something we could all get behind, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, give that one a round of applause.
Mm, yeah. I smell a victory.
Yeah. Stone-faced Pete Donaldson there.
I was more interested in drinking me Yuzu.
Yeah. Are you sponsored by Yuzu this week? Are you like getting right, product me. Placement in?
I was about to say other chocolate milkshakes are available, but I don't know if they are.
I didn't see no Tango, so that's what I'm saying. So you got to be proactive. Oh, you got one.
Yep.
An Anchorman branded one.
Is that a Rolex, Jim?
No.
Luke, what's your answer?
I decided that I would like... I went for the pun angle.
Go on.
Yes. And I was going to apologise, but not, I don't think I will.
You're no, not you alone, mate, don't worry.
I thought that maybe Benoit Assou Risotto.
not a real player.
Or cooking you a lasagna.
Yeah, or Terry Vegetables.
Did you say cookery lasagna?
No, cooking a lasagna.
Yeah, I did.
Those two are available. I'd quite like to have a stew cooked for me by Dion Dumpling.
Baccarat nice. Lasagna would work, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah. It would, yeah.
Terry Vegetables, ladies and gentlemen. A little bit. I'm not letting that one go quietly into the night.
Add dairy vegetables into it.
Dairy vegetables, yeah. Mm.
Connor Salmon. Yeah. But you don't even have to change
No, you don't.
You've got to change one letter.
Barry Food.
Mark Fish.
Mark fish. There you go. That was my
Dave. Line. Dave Meat. Jim, what are you going to ask?
Well, I don't know any professional footballers, so you know, I have no idea which one
about
are,
what this question.
Well, I don't know who'd be a good cook. I've got no context, so just to play it safe, I think I'd go with Phil Jagielka. Because he's a good all-rounder, isn't he? Can play pretty much anywhere across the back four, safe in midfield, can even play in goal. Yeah. I reckon he'd be good at cooking. He seems like he's a versatile bloke.
I mean, the only insight enough. I've got into this is Matt Murray's wife made me a cake. That was very nice. And Clint Hill made me a bacon sandwich once. It was also very nice. So there you go, any of those two.
Which was better?
Well, they're difficult to compare, aren't they?
God, your memoirs are going to blow hard, man.
And still remain unpublished.
Yeah. No one picked them up. Unbelievable.
If you thought we were still low budget, ladies and gentlemen, think again. I would go for Big Sepp.
Okay.
Sepp Blatter's platter.
No. Blatter doesn't cook himself.
No way.
Blatter has help.
Yeah, no. But he used to be a good cook. Now he's forgotten.
What you're essentially saying,
so you want the man who's forgotten how to cook.
Yeah, I didn't mean forgotten. Now he doesn't. I just think Sepp.
No, I'll tell you what you think. Platter. You think that the word platter rhymes with the word platter, so you thought you'd use it.
Yeah.
If you give yourself the points, the show's finished.
The last time,
do I, ladies and gentlemen, do I?
The last time he had to cook for himself, he was cooking with bully beef.
Yeah, he was.
And bananas that he'd seen for the first time.
Yeah.
Pete Donaldson's got the points.
Yeah.
He's got the points.
I can get behind that because it's a Shreves-related thing, so that's fine.
And Jeff Shreves is a bellend, isn't he?
Yes.
So.
A bell pepper end.
A good start to the show, solid start. Now we're going to go to the Premier League. And Chelsea beat Manchester United 3-1. Samuel Eto'o scored a hat-trick.
He did.
It's his millionth goal or something.
Yeah, something like that. I was quite pleased with Samuel Eto'o because he's not had the best of times and he's a wonderful striker. And I thought, if this is his only season in England...
Mm. Which it surely will be, I think.
Yeah, quite possibly. I'm glad he's done something of note.
Yes.
And you can see he's still got pace, not from how he plays, but from how he celebrates.
Yeah, absolutely rapid.
I've saved me running for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the Angie factor, isn't it?
Yeah.
Stand around a bit, score. Hey, I'm off. Yeah, what a great win for Chelsea. I mean, and as poor as Manchester United were in parts or even maybe the whole of that game, Chelsea were very good.
I didn't think United were that poor. I thought they're in possession there okay. I thought they made defensive errors, especially at set pieces, which was a shame. The only problem is they've not really got any proper thrust or cutting edge without Rooney or Van Persie.
That's so, it. Which is fair enough, in a sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, any team would struggle without their first-choice strikers, as we've discussed already. But it's Van Persie's 10th game out, which is really satisfying as an Arsenal fan, because he used to miss so much for us. It's just good.
Well, yeah.
I don't even care if it sounds bitter. I'm enjoying it.
I do feel sorry for Adnan. I think he deserves a better Manchester United team.
He's got a long time to get that, hasn't he?
The great thing for Januzaj, from his point of view, is that obviously he was playing up against Luis and Ramirez, who aren't really traditional holding midfield players, so he actually found a lot of space. But, I mean, like as you said, Jim, RVP hasn't played since the 10th of December, and he hasn't scored since the Arsenal game, I think, which is the beginning of November. So, I mean, really, he's been out for so long.
He
hasn't played since December the 10th.
It's the risk that Van Persie's always posed, isn't it? I mean, in his last season for Arsenal, he wasn't injured much. I don't think he was injured at all for United last season. But before that, he missed months and months of every season, and it seemed odd that had stopped happening to him, and here it is again.
Mm. Absolutely, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not enjoying the physical pain he's going through, just again.
Mm. I think he might be.
I think for Eto'o, I know you've said that you didn't think that you thought Man United were quite bad. I mean, they were bad
defensively. They looked very bad.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why Eto'o was able to score three goals, because he couldn't believe his luck. I mean, he wasn't. You'd think that. I mean, because I think, without being too harsh, because he just scored a hat trick and he took his goal as well, and it was a good win, as you said. But on occasions when Eto'o's featured this season, he's looked a bit like a quite bad Eto'o impressionist. You know, he's not really looked anywhere near what we used to see in him. Was I the only one surprised that he can't speak English either? I thought because he's been playing for so long, I just assumed that he would be able to speak English. You know what I mean?
But he's probably done a lot of meetings in English.
Yeah.
Like, he's
probably
gone to a lot of meetings with like sponsors and stuff.
Yeah, and just nodded. Yeah. But and yeah, that's why I was United's best player again. You know, and it's really worrying.
Do you prefer him to just behind the front man or out wide?
Yeah, I think he can operate across any of those. But I mean, the state United are in terms of, I mean, they're not that bad. But I mean,
yeah, they picked up a bit of form. I mean, it's a tough place to go. I don't think they've beaten Chelsea there for a while, have they? So
it's not exactly
a disaster to lose to Chelsea at Stamford Bridge.
Manchester United have only beaten Mourinho sides like twice in 17 encounters or something that. Was the stat flying around?
I mean, fair enough, but I mean, it's the manner of it. I mean, I don't know how Man United fans feel, but I just think Moyes is getting a fair amount of stick. Not from the Man United fans, to be fair. Man United fans have stuck behind him.
And
that should be applauded. But I wonder, in terms of the players, I was thinking about this earlier on the way in. I mean, how many of those United players are sticking their neck out and demanding to be picked every week?
Yeah.
You know, think about that. I mean, because Moyes has changed things around for different competitions. He's rotated players here and there. But I could only think of probably Rooney, Robin Van Persie, but they've both been injured.
Yeah.
Rooney's probably been United's best player, but he's been in and out of the side for injury. Januzaj, Carrick and De Gea, that's probably it.
I think you're absolutely right. People are pointing the finger at Moyes because it's very easy to do so. But that United team have got to step up and take a bit of responsibility. They're very poor on the pitch.
They're the champions.
Moyes can't make passes for them. He can't mark players for them.
He can instil confidence, Marcus.
He can instil confidence.
In himself, in themselves.
I just think...
And that's maybe what he needs.
He can bring his three-piece back is what he can do.
I mean, if you take for example, Phil Jones, he seems to be relatively highly rated by most people, and he's quite versatile and all the rest of it. And he played in midfield against Chelsea or whatever. But I don't know if I'm being a bit old-fashioned or whatever, but I think that if he was genuinely that good, given that, I mean, Vidic made an appalling decision to get sent off in the game regardless, Ferdinand's been up and down. If Phil Jones was genuinely, like, the world-class centre-back that we all think he could be, or that everyone says he is, would he have not nailed down that position now? Would he not be as a centre-back and been playing there every single week? Because it's not as though they've got real massive competition for places.
But is that David Moyes being a little bit cautious that sort of...
He plays him. He plays him as defensive midfield to try and break up all the play.
That's what he did against Chelsea, didn't he?
Well, Moyes is very much sticking to what he knows in terms of his kind of team setups, isn't he? Sort of, as we've said before, it's almost like he's yet to realise that he's got a Ferrari, almost, and he can drive it a bit faster than his previous car.
But I'm not sure if he has got a Ferrari. I think he's got, I don't know, maybe a
Conshot.
Yeah, a Porsche Boxster, which is still a very good car, don't get me wrong, and I would love to own one day, if anybody is listening. But
what is happening?
No, but I'm just saying that team is not as good. You know, everybody's saying how Ferguson got the best out of them. Mm. Should Vidic have been sent off, Pete? Let's talk about that.
I would err on the side of yes.
Do you think so?
Yes.
I'd probably do as well.
Yeah.
It was so late, it was almost an off-the-ball hack.
What about... It was a hack.
Yeah.
What about Raphael?
Yes.
So, yeah, Raphael's one seemed so petulant to me. It seemed like he was almost sulking because
he
wasn't getting his own way.
I think
it's really, really poor. He's so lucky not to get sent off as well though, and give Moyes even more of a problem.
Well, I genuinely think the reason he's not been sent off is because Phil Dad just sent Vidic off. Mm. If he hadn't have done that... Raphael's gone.
And they're the sort of decisions that have annoyed people all season, really. This kind of like trying to level things up from the referee, and it's just getting worse and worse.
This is why we need robot referees who are emotionless and contextless.
Yeah. It's a good suggestion.
But Chelsea were very good, by the way.
I was about to say, what about Chelsea? I mean, how frightening is Willian when he gets the ball and runs?
Will.i.am.
Yeah. he's so quick, isn't he? It's absolutely ridiculous to try and track him as a midfield player.
His energy is amazing, and he's a glider as well. He moves across the pitch quite nicely. I love the way those front players all rotate around.
Yeah.
They were irresistible, really. And if Moyes did deploy Phil Jones for that reason, to try and stop, sort of break up their creative play, I mean, it just didn't work.
The Brazilian contingency at Chelsea are flourishing.
Yeah.
There's so many of them.
Yeah,
playing so well.
I think they're very good. They really were, Chelsea.
Can they win the league? Of course they can win the league. Will they win the league?
They can win the league.
Do you think, I mean...
It's opened a bit of a gap now with those top three teams, and if you had to realistically say it's between those three, I think it's difficult to choose between City and Chelsea. But I think Arsenal may just miss out. But I wouldn't like to pick between those two.
I don't think Arsenal will win either. I think it'll be City because there's 16 games to go, I think, and I just don't see where they're dropping points. You'd put them as a favourite against anyone, I think, even Chelsea.
They go to White Hart Lane very soon, I think. That'd be a difficult.
But you saw them against Newcastle a couple of weeks ago, or a week ago, rather, Manchester City. They, you know, they can have the odd off game where
they still won 2-0.
I know.
Yeah, they're doing that champions form thing, aren't they? Just grinding out the wins.
When they bring their own referee, they can. Yeah.
Who did you get what you pay for, mate?
He got relegated. Yeah. He's not doing another bit of refereeing for a little while, naughty boy.
Yeah. Thanks to the words of Pete Donaldson in the FA's ear. That didn't happen. Crystal Palace, another win for them. Another clean sheet against Stoke. 1-0.
Nice for Pulis.
There was a few subplots going on this weekend, and this is, I suppose, the first tastiest one that we're going to talk about. It was a great win for Pulis, and they're 2 points above the relegation zone now. And like we've already said before, Crystal Palace could bloody well survive. Well,
I think they could.
They're picking up points where you'd... I mean, they're going quite by the book, actually. They're picking up points against teams you'd expect them to. So they beat Stoke. We've got a draw against Norwich. Beat West Ham, I think, as well. And lost to sort of bigger teams. But, I mean, I'm not sure if Pulis will mind that too much. I mean, he's realised what he's done. He's a pretty good pragmatist, Tony Pulis, I think. And what he's done is he's realised that Palace can't really score many. It's going to be difficult for him to get someone on board who can fire them to safety for the rest of the season. So he's just thought, well, let's just get them as defensively solid as we can. I mean, they managed to... I know Man City wrestled a lot of players, but they only conceded one at the Etihad, and that's not bad going.
Yeah,
So, yeah, they've got every chance. They really have, because there's teams like Swansea and Fulham who seem to be an absolute free-fall.
Yeah. Swansea haven't won in eight.
No, they can't. Swansea's record since they... I'm sure you'll come on to Swansea in a minute. Since they won the League Cup is absolutely appalling. It's really, really bad.
Is it the rigours of the Europa League?
Must be something to do with it, yeah.
Blimey, is it really?
Well, they've lost Michu and Vorm as well, haven't they?
So. Yeah, that's huge.
But Michu looked pretty awful the last few couple of matches that he played. He was completely off the boil for me.
Yeah. Did you see this story about Kenwyn Jones? He was fined 2 weeks' wages. That's £80,000. Kenwyn Jones is on 40 grand a week. Everyone should know that. For texting Mark Hughes that he couldn't play against Liverpool the other week. He didn't even turn up to the ground for the game. Now, everybody knows, when you go to work, when you're working a normal job, you've got to phone in when you're calling the sickie. Mm. To text the manager, I'm not coming in today.
I think last time I didn't phone in last time. I pretended to be ill. I texted in. That's bad, isn't it? I should really... But then I was on air at the time, so I said, if I feel this bad tomorrow... I won't be him, and I was doing a terrible show like I usually do, so it's fine. So
well, maybe, that's all right.
So my quality control was there for everyone to see.
Yeah, you were in the workplace, though, so if anybody wanted to talk to you, you were giving them the option.
I once phoned in sick to a job centre. So.
Hey, that's
see if
the ultimate
you can go
one.
Lower than that.
I was about to say, that's not even your last point, is it?
No,
it's vying.
Especially when you've seen eating out the bins behind the job centre.
Yeah. Well, it made me sick. Yeah. Have you ever texted your housekeeper you're too ill to come down for breakfast, Jim?
Never had the option. But one thing that must be said about a text message is that you cannot perform a handshake within it. So Mark Hughes is probably as annoyed about that as anything else.
Is this because Kenwyn Jones has been linked to the move away? Because I thought that he would be linked to him with a move to Everton, but it looks like Everton have signed someone else.
Is he that type of man, Luke?
I don't know him. I wouldn't want to tell you.
I was hoping you were going to say yes.
I know what you were hoping. I know you were leading the witness. But this lady's not for turning.
Suddenly I turned around and I was up the garden path all on my own.
There's no excuse for that, really. I haven't seen the story. The first I've heard of it is when you put it in the running order, so I don't know much about it.
It sounds like he's what the tabloids would call a transfer rebel or something like that. He's trying to make his position untenable so they can get a move. Hughes has sort of poured scorn on that, hasn't he? Because apparently there's been talk of Jones going to Everton, and Mark Hughes has said, well, he might think that, but we've not had any offers from anyone, he's probably getting bad information from
him.
Doesn't look like anyone wants him.
I haven't seen anybody swooping. No. Around here.
They probably texted and he didn't have iMessage turned on, maybe.
Yeah, that's it. Send us text, Mark. Mm. Send us text.
He's probably in a car outside Loftus Road right now.
I just love how footballers, and often how people view football as it's not a job.
Yeah.
So the rules of employment do not apply in that field. Which, of course, they do.
When you hear fans get annoyed because a player's flown home because like a family member's ill or something. They get annoyed about it.
Can he be tired? Yeah. He gets paid 50 grand a week. Yeah. Doesn't that make him fit? Look at Sepp Blatter.
Rub some of that money on your muscles, idiot.
Always the remedy.
Jason Punchin.
Yes.
Bloody Jason Redemption.
That's why he's here.
That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was lovely.
That was good, wasn't it?
No, it is lovely. Not the gag, if you can even call it that. That lovely little curled shot. It's brilliant.
I thought you were commenting.
Why can't he do that from a penalty?
I think he deserves respect for actually getting up and dusting himself down and cracking on.
I thought you were going to say for giving it to Warnock, but I thought maybe missed not to go near that situation. he did. Well done to Punchin and Crystal Palace. Zoom up the table.
He'll need the goal bonuses for the legal fees, frankly.
Very tight at the bottom of the table. It's 6 points separate in the bottom half.
It's very tight indeed. West Ham are right down there. Talking of subplots, West Ham 1, Newcastle United 3. Pardew returned to Upton Park, got himself 3 points. Allardyce against his old team.
Really?
Andy Carroll came on, missed a good chance. Mm.
Somebody said it was smart. Could buy the smartphone against walkie-talkies, which I quite liked.
Oh, that's nice.
It really was. Kabay
was brilliant, wasn't he? He's
it was excellent. Fantastic.
No one could get near him. Like Mark Noble just couldn't get near him.
But you knew he was always going to be the fulcrum. You always knew he was going to be he's our most talented football. So why back off and back off him? I know he was unplayable at times, but at least, you know, crowd around him or do something. Look like you're at least interested.
You must have done so well to keep Kabay.
That's what I was going to say. That
he's a magnificent player.
Do you think Pardew's like gets a little bit like, oh, don't play too well?
And transfer window. He didn't need to score a second goal. He did tell L'Equipe that he will be staying to the end of the season. But after that, I think it'll
talk
about
PSG, isn't there?
Yeah, a prodigious talent.
And he clearly had his head turned in the summer, and it speaks volumes to his professionalism that he's playing so well and has just managed to get on with it and get his head down and sort of, you know, reaffirm himself to the court.
Well, he just seems to be enjoying his football a hell of a lot more than he did last season when, you know, you had the Europa League, but you had Cissé not playing particularly well, but with players like Remy and Gouffray, he seems to enjoy it a lot more playing around those two too. He likes a dink.
Oh, we all like a dink. Don't we all? I mean, West Ham, we've talked about them a number of times with their recent woes, minus the win at Cardiff, of course. But they're in the relegation zone, and Sunderland came from two goals down, and they're showing a little bit of fighting. Yeah.
I mean, their strikers did miss two complete sitters. Carroll smashing a volley over the bar that you would really, a striker who had played a little bit more football, you'd expect him to finish.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
They're inviting Larrapings.
I think West Ham have got to be really, really careful. I mean, it's a situation down the bottom of the table at this stage. If it stays this close, with all these teams taking points here and there and off each other and stuff, it's looking like a team may get sucker punched and get relegated when they didn't expect to get relegated at all.
Yeah, totally. But you could have three teams.
You see that coming from so far away that's unlikely.
But normally there's one team where people go, yeah, probably them. But there isn't this season.
I mean, there have been times in the season where you would have said that, but now it's become a bit more jumbled.
Well, Big Sam sort of going, we don't let a lot of goals in. You just let in three, so don't worry about it, mate.
Yeah.
Palace
were perhaps the only side that, a couple of months ago, people were going, I'd fancy them to go down. Mm. Maybe before the season started, Hull City would have been one of them, but they've shown some great form and picked up some great results. So you're talking, the likes of Fulham, Sunderland, West Ham.
Hull are in a dangerous position because they've had two hard games against Chelsea and Liverpool, but they've managed to lose three in a row now. They're still 11th.
They've strengthened up front.
Yeah, they've signed experienced Premier League operators, which is great. I mean, Jelovic obviously has had his problems at Everton, but he started off at Everton really well.
Yeah.
And so it's not completely out of the question that he would go on a bit of a run. And I think Shane Long's a good player as well.
Yeah, maybe Jelovic just needs a new set of circumstances because it seems odd that he went off the boil so much.
Mm.
But I think Hull will be okay. I mean, their priority will be staying up. The fact that they're up in 11th, they'll just see those as points banked for the battle to come.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Totally. Well, another side that's been drawn into it is Swansea, like you mentioned a few moments earlier.
Listless, haven't they? They've not been able to sort of make anything out of their passing game. They still have that passing game. They've just forgotten how to make it win.
Yeah, I thought that... I was thinking about Swansea today. They're in a relegation battle now, and you've got to really wonder whether Michael Laudrup, because he's like almost very calm and sort of quite sanguine about things, he does need, obviously we don't know what's happened behind the scenes, but he does need to really make it clear to his team, because they've been so poor since the League Cup final. In the summer, you knew they'd have to be in the Europa League, so that was going to be tough for them. But he did all the right things. I mean, he signed a few new players, and he seemed to freshen it up a bit. They've been unlucky. Michel Vorm's gone, and Gerhard Trump was nowhere near as good as Vorm would be. And Michu's that they've been unlucky with. Mm. But as Pete said, he's not been brilliant for. But anyway, the only player they've signed that's really done anything is Bonny, who looks really good. He tried to drag them through the game himself.
As he's been doing for a long time.
Right. Mm. But the other players they've signed, Jordi Amat, Pozuelo, Jonjo Shelvey, haven't been consistent enough. Mm. And they've not really shown enough for me all season, really. And Spurs went there and played with a nice tempo, and they look really good at the moment, Spurs.
They seem sort of camped out in the D, really. Swansea allowed Spurs so much space just in front of the 18-yard box. Yeah. I was just like, well, someone's going to have a shot from somewhere, mate. Just try and play.
Adebayor was really good.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
He was furious with Dembele, wasn't he, for that
one? Oh, yeah. He said afterwards they would have had a fight.
Yeah. I think he meant, an argument.
I'd back Dembele in a fist fight.
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah, against Adebayor.
I wouldn't want to publicly bring up the... you know, potential for a fist fight with Dembele.
No.
I don't think anyone would, surely. Yeah.
I like how you thought boxing match. I thought more brawl.
Right. Mm. Adebayo would be punching down, really.
Dembele's got that little look about him, hasn't he? Steely sort of light.
He's quite a big bloke.
Yeah. Stocky.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Sherwood Spurs, I've been free scoring and they're up there racing around for fourth spot. People have accused him of just being very much 4-4-2 straight lines, that kind of thing. They played more 4-5-1 and seem to get the best out of Eriksen and Adebayor as well.
I think it's a weird one. We talked about media narratives a lot this season on this show, and you think that everyone was talking up until fairly recently about Liverpool being title contenders. Spurs are on the same point.
Mm.
Yeah, so... Yeah, really, it's like I said, there's a top three battle for the title. Looks to be quite a nice battle between three or four teams for fourth.
Yeah.
Like Liverpool, Spurs, Everton, United, really. I don't think Newcastle will last the distance, personally.
Spurs are on the same points as Liverpool.
Yeah.
Who will come on to.
And they've just lost their manager, and, you know, it was turmoil about 5 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally, yeah. Absolutely.
But, I mean, he's fixed their goal drought just by bringing... back in the sort of £25 million striker that AVB was leaving out in the cold. I mean, was it really that simple all along?
Well, the Villas Boas thing is a funny one, because although he was getting hammered and they got a couple of bad defeats and he obviously got sacked, they weren't actually doing that badly.
No.
It wasn't like Wanda Ramos, where they were bottom of the league. Mm. If they were actually still there or thereabouts, they just weren't scoring. And the manner of those big defeats they suffered maybe suggested that something... behind the scenes was going on, do you know what I mean? But Sherwood's just come in and just been like back to basics, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Everyone in the right position, get on there and get it done, you know?
Well, after Sherwood's first game, which he lost, we were saying that he seemed a little tactically naive. And his idea was, as you say, 4-4-2, just, you know, rely on the fact that they've got better players than most of the teams in the league. And they have been doing that, but it's been working. It almost reminds you of Harry Redknapp. Just very simple, very straightforward. Just give the players faith in their own ability and let them do the rest.
Do you think that the fixtures have been kind to him, though, Sherwood? I mean, he's only had one game. I think the game at Old Trafford aside, they've played pretty winnable games. I mean, they've got the next league game, I think, is they play City at home.
Yeah, well, that'll be a
test, won't it?
True, but he took over when there was a little bit of disarray and there was a lot of talk in the media. Mm. And it's difficult to try and ground everybody and have a little bit of peace about the club when all that turmoil's going on. And he has done that. And the players look as though they're playing for him club.
I noticed during the Arsenal game in the FA Cup that even when they were losing, he was really, really positive towards his players, really encouraging, and he looked really just... up and a positive, energetic person. And I think that's going to have an effect on the squad.
I think sometimes it can work quite nicely when a former player comes in and he can just remind the players where they are, what they're doing, who they're playing in front of, and the club's history. It's an enormous club. Mm. Club's history, what's happening, and try and G them up. Because I get the impression with AVB, he's a good tactician, but not a good motivator, not a good man manager. Yeah. And I think a lot of people get that idea as well. Redknapp, perhaps a good motivator with the tactics, maybe not so good.
Do you think the man management and the personality thing is more important in English football then?
Quite possibly. Yeah. I think, I mean...
Where the players are less professional.
Well, certainly you hear some players who come here and it's almost, you know, in a sort of a kind of layman's example, it's like playing playground football again. It's like, hey, this is great fun. We get to run around and all this sort of
and
stuff.
Is that why we kind of, certainly from the media perspective, we kind of value people who speak better English and stuff like that, because that kind of level is so much more important over here.
But yeah. I think that Adebayor's been, I mean, it's funny one with the Adebayor AVB thing, because I think Adebayor's been really good just since he came back into the side. He's been good for a few games now. He's scored quite a few in his last few appearances.
He really has done well.
And so you really do wonder whether AVB was making a point there. And it's ended up costing him his job. I mean, obviously other factors involved, but it's ended up costing him his job. But then you could say, well, Adebayor's very much a character who would only play... Not, it's a bit harsh to say when he feels like it, because he's had personal problems.
Well, but we've seen that before, though.
He's been like that at Tottenham.
He's been awful for Tottenham at times. He seems to be at his best when he's got something to prove, which he has again now. We'll see how long his form lasts.
The trouble is, you just don't know what goes on behind the doors of a football club. I mean, it could be... Take Teddy Sheringham and Andy Cole. They fell out because one of them, you know, Andy Cole didn't track back for a goal or something in a match.
It was something quite trivial.
It was something quite trivial, and that feud lasted probably forever.
Well, until now.
Like, exactly. Mm. Now, I'm sure those kind of little feuds exist between managers and players. It could be something so silly like that, that why Adebayor wasn't playing. Mm. Adebayor maybe just feels, no, he doesn't play my style. He's feeling a little bit low. There's stuff going on off the pitch. Who knows? There's so many different factors.
But Sherwood was in the setup before, you know? It's not like he's a new character.
But Sherwood was in the setup before and could have had the respect of the players. The players may well have liked him.
It's so funny, because on this show we did say a number of weeks ago, the best player to lead the line for Spurs under the system AEDB is playing is Adebayor. Which is just pick him. And he hasn't done, and it's ended up costing him his job, hasn't it? Because I'd love to know the reason why.
I'm not sure if it was that sole reason, but it's certainly a factor.
Absolutely. I'd love to know the reason why. I really would.
Yeah. The last Premier League game I mentioned is Liverpool 2, Aston Villa 2. Villa were excellent.
I thought they were very good, and I thought Liverpool hugely underestimated.
Villa needed a performance like that, and it's a big shame for them that they never won, of course.
Well, yeah, I was going to say they were very good, but they'll be so frustrated because they played so well and then let the points slip away.
Well, did they let the points slip away? Because I'd like to definitely put my opinion to the side of the argument that says that Luis Suarez dived.
Yeah, he probably did dive, yeah.
He was kicked quite a lot during that match as well, though.
For that. I thought he dived, and I thought that a number of the pundits, especially on Match of the Day, kind of ducked out of saying that.
Is it because it's become almost hack to say it?
Yeah, maybe.
Or is it because he's been on a massive PR drive over the last few months?
Well, do you think he dived?
Yes, I think he did.
I think he's expecting the contact, but it didn't come, and he dived anyway.
Yeah.
But it happened very quickly. But the game in general, though, it's quite an interesting thing going on here, because Aston Villa's away record is actually very good this season. They've got twice as many points away as they have at home. They've got 8 points at home this season, 16 points away. The way they set themselves up is very much suited to this almost reactionary away team type of football.
So many teams do that, though, in the Premier League these days.
Absolutely. But what I was going to go on to say was that Liverpool, not only underestimated him and didn't pay him anywhere near enough respect, but you've got to wonder about the role Steven Gerrard is playing in that team. Mm. Now, the sort of conventional wisdom and what a lot of people are saying is that Albert Gerrard's thriving in this deeper role in midfield. I don't think he is at all.
He's played that deeper role for a long time, people think.
I don't think he's doing very well this season. I think, actually, I'll go further than that and say that he's holding them back. I think for them to drop, for Rodgers to drop Lucas, who, for me, is such a consistent performer.
Yeah, he's huge for them.
And that midfield three they sometimes operate with Alan, Henderson and Lucas. Henderson plays so much better without Gerrard on the team.
I tell you something, Henderson, get him on the plane.
Well, the thing is, though, Marcus, he cannot thrive when Gerrard's on the team. And I know it's sort of unpalatable for, and I'll get a lot of stick from Liverpool fans for saying this, but the point is, you can't, and I don't mean to be as crude as this, but I can't think of another way of saying it articulately, you can't just pipe a 50-yard pass every 5 minutes and score the odd penalty. It really disrupts the rhythm that Liverpool are trying to play with. And I think, actually, Rodgers hasn't had his feet under the desk long enough yet to pull him out of there. But I reckon if it was Mourinho or if it was Ferguson, if it was a big character manager. And as you said last week, Marcus, Rodgers is starting to talk a bit like and act like a top-four manager now. It won't be long before he starts making those sort of big decisions. And I think Gerrard needs to come out of the team.
But you know,
I think he needs to go in there for half an hour at the end of a game every so often, maybe play the games against sort of lower ranked teams. But he cannot do it.
At his age, though, that's not unreasonable, is it? Rodgers can easily do that without it causing too much suspicion.
I think it will be a problem because it's him.
No, but something I'd like to say, a lot of people have said about this Gerrard deeper role he's been playing. He's been playing that for a while. I think the difference is when he has a holder there, or someone who's more natural at sitting, like Lucas, or even, like, he played that role pretty well in the Euros for England. You know, I think he's probably played some of his best football in a deeper role, but he had Scott Parker there, and in the recent qualifiers he had Carrick there. Players who are used to being quite... used to that deep position, a bit more disciplined. So if he does have a little, if he does sort of wander off or take his eye off the defensive,
but that's the sort of thing that's been levelled at him for such a long time. And I just think that lifers like Steven Gerrard make the rod for their own back when they say, I'm Mr Liverpool, because they don't know what their body's going to do to them, you know, 3 years down the line, because they might not be able to keep up with the pace, they might not be able to play football as well as they have done all their life.
I think Gerrard's had a fantastic career, and I wouldn't take anything away from him, but I think he's always been tactically a little bit suspect.
Yeah.
2 points on what you said. One, England don't play like Liverpool, so it's slightly different. Two, it's 2 years ago, the Euros now. I mean, it's almost 2 years ago. He's had injuries since then. The Premier League pace is much higher than the pace is at international football, especially in terms of qualifiers and stuff like that. Gerrard may be able to sit in that role playing slightly differently alongside Carrick, with different personnel in front of him and a different pace of football.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the Premier League, I'm not having a go at Gerrard. No, I think he's a great player. Yeah, I wouldn't want to disrespect him. But I think for what Rodgers is trying to do and what Liverpool are trying to achieve, I think it's getting to the point now where he's holding them back.
Right, okay.
And I don't know if any Liverpool fans agree with me, and maybe they've seen him a lot more than I have, and their season ticket holders say I'm talking nonsense. But just from what I've seen, that's my observation anyway.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting one. Before we leave Liverpool, we've got to talk about their Dunkin' Donuts sponsorship, eh?
Yeah.
How's about that?
Well, is it going to actually be on the front of their shirt?
I hope so. I don't know, to be really honest. I doubt it.
This is happening more and more. Arsenal have got an official malt drink partner in Africa. There are teams have 20, 20 sponsors now, and like one or two of them will be the main ones. But they'll have link-ups with loads of like weird little
things.
Didn't
DHL pay loads of money to have a deal with just United's training?
Yeah, I think so. Mm. Like a lot of money. But to be fair, you see it in the press all the time.
Speaking of sponsorship, there's obviously a reason they do it. It's probably worth their while. West Brom announced they're going to remove their Zoopla thing because of an Alka celebration.
I think Zoopla announced that they were going to...
That's what I meant. Yeah. I think the chief executive of Zoopla is Jewish.
Yeah.
And he was very unhappy with an Alka celebration, which he's seen as anti-Semitic. Yeah. But it's got to be the most expensive celebration of all time.
Yeah. I'm chucking in all this sort of sponsorship talk. Apparently Coca-Cola are trying to... put their name in, is give Real Madrid a load of money, so it would be called the Coca-Cola
Real Madrid.
Wow. Whatever it would be called.
It's like, you remember Newcastle had that big thing about, we're going to, put Ollie Image Right and stuff, and they managed to get Sports Direct in. you'll notice that round, like, Sir Joseph's Park, there's like loads of hoardings that say things like Sports Direct, some clothes companies that are owned by Sports Direct, and that's it. I mean, whether Mike Ashley's paying for that advertising, you'd probably imagine so, because he did take money out of the club,
that's
fraudulently.
True.
What's the name of the stadium again?
I think it's St. Joseph's Park.
Okay. What should it be called?
The Cave of Funk.
Cave of Funk.
Cave of Funk.
Sports Direct Cave of Funk compromise?
West Brom went a season, didn't they, without a sponsor?
Yeah, they did.
Mm. You've got to ask questions.
And they're going to go for half a season without one now.
You can't. No, it's going to be the end of the season, I think.
Okay.
You can't really understand what that sponsorship team at that club is doing.
Yeah.
It's the Premier League. There are some people that haven't heard of it, but mostly everyone's heard
without
of it.
Maybe they got them in from Fulham.
It's not like the Football Ramble. We got to bang doors down.
That season where they sponsored by Nostalgia.
Yeah, that'll be it. I think, but the season when they were sponsored by nobody, just go out. Local businesses, local flipping chip shops.
You've got to value.
Give us a grand, and we'll put you
value your
a grand
space. Though,
a grand more than they got.
Yeah, it's fair enough,
isn't it?
But at least I don't know. Give it to charity or something for a season.
Yeah, give a grand to charity.
We should have made a phone call. We should have seen if they wanted us to sponsor them.
Tell you something. That would have been the answer, I think. Off to the Championship. Off to the Championship. Leeds United...
Poor
old McDermott.
The worst day of Brian McDermott's life.
Continues.
Yeah.
Leeds United 0, Leicester City 1.
That groundhog day.
Yeah, I was about to say, he did some sort of footballing groundhog day.
The difference. It was the finish. Difference.
It was Ross McCormack was the difference as well. God.
Yeah.
What a goal, though.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. Turn.
I thought to myself, how many injuries would it take for Nugent to get on the plane?
Yeah, well,
loads.
45 more, I think.
A couple at this rate?
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
I think at this point, I should say, what we should all do, betfair.com/footballramble, everyone lump on David Nugent to score next week.
Yeah,
he's in a great run of form. And Leicester can't stop winning. It's worth doing, I'll tell you.
5 points clear at the top, Leicester.
Yeah.
5 points clear at the top.
QPR in second.
They are indeed. What about Reading? They're in sixth spot. They beat Bolton 7-1.
It's just annihilated Bolton.
Jay Spearing actually apologised.
Yeah, really? Well.
That's how bad a hammering is when the players come out.
Dougie Freeburn in his post-match interview, it was like he was just beside himself. He came out and said, "I'm not going to hide. I'm going to say what I think. Honestly, it wasn't good enough and all this other stuff." But what can you say when you've been battered 7-1? You know,
yeah.
And I think Bolton have conceded 15 goals in their last four league games. Now it's not great reading.
Mm.
They got beat 5 the other day.
Yeah, is it this time of the season? Is it where teams start to surge up the Championship, and you can see some people making a real push for playoff spots. Reading are good for that.
Well, more often than not, in that division, it's a lot of it's about momentum.
Yes.
Mm. If you can hit form at the right time... Mm-hmm.
You can hang around mid-table for the first sort of 6 months, and then the next 6 months, boof, you go for it.
Yeah, like setting a trap.
Yeah.
We were good all along.
Yeah. Well, Middlesbrough could be that side. They beat Charlton 1-0, but since December, Karanka's men have won 5 and drawn 1. They're 5 points off the playoffs.
Top Karanking.
Yes. So, yeah, Middlesbrough going very well. And before we leave England, Conference Premier news, Edgar Davids has left Barnet.
Yeah, oh, that was
three
fun.
Red cards in nine games this season.
But he's had five red cards in total, hasn't
yeah.
he?
But more on him later.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Well, to be fair, though, Barnet aren't doing that bad.
Yeah, they're 3 points
They've had
the
a terrible run, but generally they're doing OK, I think.
Yeah. You can't really have a manager who doesn't go to away games, though, because he doesn't fancy...
He's taking a piss.
Do we have to stay in the night? Not coming.
Edgar Davids was saying... He's by Mansion, wasn't he, one time?
Yeah.
Instead of going to get said.
Edgar Davids was saying, like...
Is that normally a choice?
I'm being targeted by referees and stuff. And the thing is, you shouldn't be... Listen, you're Edgar Davids, right? So your ability and your talent isn't in question. It was got to the point, and no disrespect to the Conference Premier, but it was got to the point where you are too slow and you're getting sent off in the Conference Premier. You shouldn't be playing.
Yeah.
It's not the referee's fault. It's your fault.
He was playing and managing for free, wasn't he?
There you go.
I don't think he was too slow. Wasn't he just taking pelters for like from 40 yards or something? Just having a smash.
Probably
smash
was, yeah.
Trying to smash
just having
in.
A lovely
shooting
time.
From goal kicks. Yeah. Enjoying right. his retirement, effectively. Gate. Just still playing football.
Gatehead away. Can I have free kicks and pens? No, well, I'm not coming there.
I'm off to the Playboy Mansion.
You're the manager.
What? So we will mention Davids in a little while. Let's go to La Liga.
Oh, Atletico Madrid missed the chance to go top. Oh, what a...
They're still amongst it. It's 1 point separating all three teams.
I know, but you can imagine...
the boost it would give them to actually get up there.
You can imagine Simeone when he was wagging his finger, wanting one more a few weeks ago when they won 3-0, I think it was. They knew if they won, they would go top. And it would be the first time in 400 years that Atletico Madrid would have been top of the league. But they drew 1-1 at home with Sevilla. Because Barcelona were held away to mid-table Levante.
But they look really sluggish, actually, Barcelona.
But for the... Piqué to bail them out with quite a late goal. I think in the spirit of wanting... I know Barcelona and Real Madrid are always there and thereabouts, so that aside, in the spirit of wanting like an open title race, that was the best set of results that could have happened, really.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. Well, it is very much a three-teamed championship.
The good thing as well, right, is that, Atletico's goal difference isn't that bad. It's it's not noticeably worse than Barcelona Real Madrid, so it's not like they're just chancing their luck. They are actually doing really well.
Yeah, they drew. But it doesn't go on goal difference, though.
I know, but I'm just saying, as an indicator of how they actually score a lot of goals, because Barcelona and Real Madrid's goal difference normally is just miles away, isn't it?
I know Atletico, they drew with Barca, didn't they? So their head-to-head is, you know, all to play for still. I forget their result against Madrid.
They drew 0-0 against Barcelona. I can't remember the game against Real Madrid, I'm not sure.
Because Madrid won 5-0 this weekend with five different goal scorers. So, you know, they're looking like the...
Real Madrid looks superb. Ronaldo's goal was just ridiculous. Yeah. I know we say this every week, but my goodness.
Bale got his first goal for a while as well, didn't he?
Free kick. Was it for a while? I think he's...
No, I think no, he's scored for ages.
He got a hat-trick for them recently, didn't he? He's got a hat-trick quicker than Ronaldo did. Which
that was against Bayern Munich, but that was in November. Mm. That was a long time ago he scored his last set of goals. It was a long time ago.
He's certainly settling in quite nicely. Di Maria scored a great one from distance.
Benzema got a good one.
Yeah, blimey.
I think that was a Di Maria goal with a manager who obviously just lost his job for Betis, was looking at making a change or something, and he did what I've talked about on this show when Tony Hibbert in the Everton-Liverpool Cup semi-final, where Tony Hibbert was getting undressed ready, and Liverpool scored, and Hibbert just didn't say anything. He just went and sat down again and thought, well, I'm not coming on. And it happened to Betis manager. He was about to put someone on.
Oh, is that right?
And Di Maria just banged one in from miles away. And just sat down again. Sorry, I'm not coming on now, am I?
Well, he's lost his job, hasn't he, Garrido?
Yeah, they've had nine managers in 8 years. Yeah, Betis,
a month and a half in charge.
47 days, yeah. They should have got Pepe Mel back.
Big Pep.
Oh, did you see that Ribery piped up today as well? Really annoyed.
Saying
with,
that Ronaldo...
Like a, yeah, but it's like a proper tantrum, though, the things he said.
Didn't deserve the Ballon d'Or.
He said it's all politics and stuff, and he said the best thing about it was he was saying... And it's in fairness, he is right. I mean... Ribery and Bale, I mean, it won loads last year, and Ronaldo obviously famous.
But it's an individual award, so doesn't it?
Absolutely. But then he ended it by saying, well, the Ballon d'Or doesn't interest me anymore.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Well, if you won it next year, would you still be interested? Well, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
No, to be fair to him, maybe he means in the short term, in terms of
this year's Ballon d'Or, doesn't
it? Yeah.
We're talking about Franck Ribery. He was definitely
He was definitely being a knob.
Yeah.
Marvellous. Right, shall we go to Italy?
Oh, could I just pipe up with something? Keep it Iberian. Can I just talk about a Portugal goal?
Yes.
Because Bebe scored.
He did, a lovely volley.
Bebe scored one of the goals of the weekend for Paco de Ferreira. Ball came over
it
from the corner.
It was a looping volley, wasn't it?
Clear, nice. On the volley.
Keeper got a big hand to it.
Mm. Sign him up, Moyes. Mm.
Yeah,
it wasn't quite top left, was it? It was kind of like the keeper went, if he had a slightly stronger hand, you'd hope that he'd push it out.
Wouldn't that be sensational if Bebe was brought back?
Well, I saw a newspaper article, they saying that. look at this goal. Is it time to bring him back?
Is it time to bring him back? No, he's gone.
Yeah, Paco de Ferreira haven't won since like November or something anyway. The game finished 1-1, but it was a great goal.
Yeah. Mm. Like Harold Bishop returning to Neighbours. Oh, yeah. 90s Neighbours fans, you'll appreciate that one. Italy. Clarence Seedorf off to a winning start.
Mm.
Not convincing, but Clarence Seedorf is manager of Milan, people. Life is good.
Talking about, you know, man management and motivation, well, wanting to play for your manager. I'm smiling just thinking about Clarence Seedorf. The Milan players must be loving it.
There's a lot of love between him and Balotelli, wasn't there? They've both given it some bro love. I got an excerpt from an article I read about Berlusconi hiring Seedorf.
Do tell.
From James Horncastle. You like it. I'll read it to you. The opening paragraph, I'll read it to you as it's written. To celebrate the 20th anniversary of Silvio Berlusconi's time as owner of AC Milan in 2006, the club organised a party for him at the Hippodrome next to the San Siro. At one stage during the evening, Clarence Seedorf picked up the microphone, asked the band if they knew Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World, and went over to the president's table to perform it. To say it went down well with Berlusconi, a former cruise ship singer before he made his fortune, is an understatement. Bravo, he applauded. Bravo, Clarence. A massive amount of man love.
I'd like to think it was like the Ramones version of it.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant. I'd love to hear it.
That's amazing.
That is a glorious scenario to think of. I did like he said, Clarence Seedorf, considering my relationship with the president, when he called me, I couldn't say no. My aim is to dream again.
Well, my aim is to dream again after all the nightmares I've had after I witnessed him having sex at a bunga bunga party.
Allegedly.
No.
Yeah.
That's pretty much common knowledge.
Not allegedly, Marcus.
I think Seedorf had like a managerial release clause in his contract with Botafogo anyway, I think. So he was always planning on going into management, I think.
Player manager.
Well, he's worked for Davids.
And I'm glad you mentioned him, because Seedorf is thinking about bringing Davids into the fold.
Really?
Davids and Yap Stam, I've heard.
Oh, wow.
That's started like a love so well. Football,
is Stam just to, like, shut up Davids if he gets a bit...
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. You know,
what a player Stam was as well, though, eh?
Yeah. Hey, but look at that, though. All former players, of course. But that would be
some crazy stat about, like, the... I don't know which squad it is, but the Euro 96 Holland squad or something, like 16 of the 22 of them are in management now or something.
Yeah.
It's just, the tradition is unbelievable.
Well, do you know sort of what happened at Ajax as well, with the coup that was staged a few years ago? Like, I've just read Dennis Bergkamp's book and they talk about that at length. It's amazing. They basically just forced their way into the club because it wasn't being run properly, and now they've just redone it from top to bottom, because a lot of former players are really angry about how sort of lifeless the youth system was. So they just turned it upside down. Apparently everyone at the youth system was like, well, you know, we won the Champions League in 95 with this system. It's like, yeah, but football's moved on. And there's an amazing story about Cruyff in it as well, from after he'd already been Ajax manager, where he was at a game just as a spectator and Ajax were losing 3-1, and he pissed him off so much that he left the stadium, went back in through the players' entrance with the security going, you can't come in. And he was like, I'm Johan Cruyff, so I can, and I am.
Cruyff turned him and they went the wrong way.
And he just went onto the bench, like, as a spectator, and just sat there, gave instructions, and they won 5-3.
That's quite
unbelievable.
I really, really hope that's true. That's amazing.
That's true, definitely.
Yeah.
Yo, yeah,
was it Johan Cruyff who told that story?
The whole the Dutch tradition of coaching and all the rest of it is glorious. Mm. It's absolutely glorious.
It is.
Van Gaal getting his testes out and all that going. Have you got the ball to do? Some lovely stories in there as well. And we want more from Milan.
Yeah.
Maybe not involving testicles.
Yeah. It's a bit late for them to do anything this season, surely.
Speaking of testicles, Alex Ruano of Getafe, before going back to Spain briefly, broke the veins in his testicle against Barcelona.
Oh,
nasty.
You've got to be committed to get a result against them, haven't you?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care how kind of... I don't care how much you get paid and how kind of like consistently awesome you are at football. The very abstract nature of football pulls into sharp focus when there's blue arterial blood just pumping from your testicles. Going, I could have just watched this on telly.
Yeah.
Why did they have to play in it?
This sounds autobiographical. It's too passionate to just be
opinion.
Are you having
like a Vietnam War style flashback?
A little bit. Yeah.
What a picture for Pink Dolphin.
Just wouldn't stop. turns out I have very thin blood.
Very large veins. In Italy.
Juventus are kicking arse still.
They are.
Did you see the goals? Vidal's first from Pogba's pass was just a slip and a flick. Mm. Mm.
Pogba's goal was magnificent as well.
He does that every week now.
Yeah. It's amazing. He's what United need. It's amazing he was ever allowed to leave.
He obviously went because he wasn't getting enough first team opportunities, and Ferguson.
But he didn't seem to be getting any first team opportunities.
Weird.
He wasn't getting a sniff. But you see how good he is. It almost looks like he'd make a huge difference to United's midfield now.
He wouldn't go back there, would he? There's no way.
Speaking of going back, a former great has been talking of a return to the old lady. Del Piero recently said, "I cannot rule out a return to the club I hold so dear to my heart." I think the club have.
Yeah.
I think the thing about
I'm not going to phone ahead.
The thing about Del Piero is he's always carrying himself with utter class. He's just a classy individual.
Yeah.
And Juventus treated him quite badly, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
The way he was... I think he found out he was being let go, or his contract wasn't being extended at some sort of shareholders meeting or something like that. And you think, after he'd given that much service to the club, you think he'd be at least consulted about a coaching role or something like that. And it ended quite badly, as far as I know. So for him to even now say, oh, yeah, I'd love to go back there again, it's just a sign of the classy man he is, I think.
Yeah, yeah. But I've not heard anything from Juventus. Not that they would tell me personally.
No.
I don't think they've said anything.
Well, I haven't, and I'm in frequent contact with
you. Really? I did like what he said. The choice of Australia has been a choice of life and curiosity. I wanted to compare myself with a different world.
It's a poetic come
kangaroos
and
it's the same
other
world.
Strange wildlife.
It's literally the same world.
Toilets go around the other way. Yeah.
Right, and we're going to finish with this coming from the United Arab Emirates. Oh, yes, El Diego will be in a new television show in the UAE searching for Arabic footballing talent. The programme will be called The Victorious. And Mikhail Salgado will also be on the panel. So it's kind of... I'm hoping it's kind of like an X Factor thing. People maybe come in, do a few ball...
Will Diego be the Simon Cowell-style bad guy?
I think he'd be more like Dr. Fox.
They've done this before, though. I'm sure... was it the UAE, did you say?
Yeah.
I'm sure Newcastle had signed one of these players when...
I've no doubt...
the Shepherds were involved, I think.
Is that right?
I'm sure he had signed one for a season and then they just disappeared. It was called Soccer Star or something
like that.
That was a European one, though.
Chelsea did football icon, didn't they?
No, it was definitely...
Sky did one as well.
UAE, yeah. I'm sure it was the Emirates. I'm sure it was.
To be fair, if actually Diego's going to be like any X Factor judge, it's going to be Talisa, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sharon
Osborne. Yeah, maybe.
Nah. I know it's time for Pete's game.
It is time for Pete's game. I say Pete's game. There's a lot of people helping me out this week.
Yeah, it's not been your game in a long time,
is it? Because every time I, don't really give a title, people kind of get involved. They see that I'm in trouble. And they throw that life ring at me. So
get on with it.
Avid from the forum. Thank
enough
you
about
Kelly
your life
for,
ring.
Kelly for folding this on for me. Avid from the forum suggests Quinn, Luis or Bobby Moore. Win, lose or draw? I mean...
It's something.
Marcus came up with three, put it in the running order.
I
didn't,
really
didn't use them.
Yeah. Really,
and they're all better than that.
I really like Marcus. Have I got Danny Pugh for you?
Yeah. I thought my best one was Frank McClintock the week.
Well,
there's two you can't use now, Pete. This is what happens.
You've had your two. Right, I was born... but the actual clues come from Dan Henry, so thank you, Dan Henry, for this one. I was born 2nd of January 1972. My first club was Viking FK. I scored just 6 international goals despite being a striker.
Stop, Tori Andrew Flo.
No.
Stop, Kenneth Anderson.
Stop, nice. John Dahl Thomason.
No.
Oh, I thought
Kenneth Anderson was
space.
More prolific.
I was the inspiration for the character Yngwie in a book written by Tori Renberg, who I actually went to high school with.
This is sounds so obscure, it might actually be... the guy himself who's written these clues.
I was signed by Graeme Souness in 1996.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Stop. Eric Bo Anderson.
No.
Oh, no. Of course, Souness was away from Rangers then. Yeah. Silly. Mm. Don't shake your head.
I didn't know who it was, but I knew it wasn't him.
My first goals in England were a hat-trick against Manchester United, although one was taken off me by the dubious goals panel in a 6-3 win.
Oh, it's a Southampton player.
Yeah.
Stop. Klaus Lundekvam?
No. He's not a striker, is he?
No.
I can't remember.
I can picture him.
It's definitely a Southampton player.
Duh.
I don't know who it is, though.
This is what happened last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I later played for Blackburn, Man City and Rangers.
It's just... it's a race. It's a knowledge race.
Yeah, I can't tell you.
A memory race, rather.
Anymore?
Can I give you... no, but I'll add one. I'll give you the initials.
Okay.
E-O.
Egil Ostenstedt.
Yeah.
Egil Ostenstedt.
Yeah, well, that's not really a victory.
No.
Well, no one's happy there.
Never mind.
Good clues. Excellent clues, by the way.
Yeah,
well done, Dan Henry, for that.
Yeah, cheers.
Yeah, let's have...
I presume that's pronounced Henri, actually, Pete. Yeah.
Let's have
some correspondence.
Okay, this was based on something that I thought you were going to mention in the running order already, but you didn't actually mention, so I'll have to do a little bit more background.
Go on.
Barcelona are offering fans the chance to be buried under the Nou Camp when they die.
That's right.
So if you missed that story, go check it out.
Mausoleum they created.
So the question we put to our listeners, our lovely listeners, is... How would you like your club to mark your death? Straight away, possibly my favourite. The first reply we got, and possibly my favourite, from Toby on the Twitter says, Dimitar Berbatov can smoke my ashes.
That's excellent.
That is brilliant. Great.
Adam Ellison says, finding every ex-player I'd ever seen to take free kicks at my corpse in goal. If I save any, the player gets buried with me.
Horrendous.
Gunnosaurus shooting my ashes out of a T-shirt cannon over the turf at the Emirates.
Wonderful.
From Ash.
Brilliant. But yeah, appropriately named.
Here's Nick T, who I presume is a frustrated Manchester United fan. Playing Kagawa behind the striker would be nice. one for you here, Marcus, from Stephen Pollard. My lifeless corpse being put on a plinth, sponsored by The Ramble, and Marcus carrying my body around for a lap of honour. Are you up for it? Come back to him?
Yeah.
Okay. SJ Howe on the Facebook says, they could use my body parts to rebuild Abu Dhabi.
That's excellent.
Stu Roth says, by selling Danny Graham. Which is a bit harsh.
Sorry, Dan, it was his dying wish.
What else have we got here? Trey himself says, by playing three at the back with me tied to the other two centre-backs, weekend at Bernie style.
Oh!
Now you're talking. One more, let's have a look. Ignacio Belasco says, as a Leeds fan, I'd like Brian McDermott to say it's the worst day of his footballing career. And I'll finish up by friend of the Ramble, Murray James. He says, by putting my body in or around the coffin. Murray never lets you down.
Never. Never lets you down. Jim, you've got an email.
I do have an email. It was sent to all of us, actually. It says, morning Ramblers, early bird. Something has been bothering me in recent weeks whilst watching Match of the Day, and my level of disapproval has risen as time has gone on to the point that I am now right royally pissed off. The object of my ire is the state of the nets at the Stadium of Light. Whenever a goal is scored and the onion bag bulges, it lifts the bar at the bottom of the net clean off the ground. And every other ground in the league, and even in your local park, the net is pegged into the ground so it can't come off the ground. Why can't bloody Sunderland peg their bloody nets down? It shows them to be a shower of bumbling amateurs, and I hope they go down so I won't have to witness this every other day on Match of the Day. Sort it out, Poirier, for fuck's sake. Love and cuddles, Paul.
Angry of Sunderland.
P.S. Yes, I should get out more, but it doesn't make me wrong. Don't need a Pearson in an email.
It's going to take the ball sliding underneath that, isn't it? Because it annoys me. I can't remember it happening in Sunderland, but it does annoy me when it does happen. It's like... Shouldn't that be pegged down?
No, it won't. It won't. The ball won't go underneath the net.
Because it's creating the problem.
No, because it could bounce at another point in the net, lift that particular thing because it's at stress, and then somehow slide its way underneath.
I think their performances have made them out to be a shower of bumbling amateurs. The net certainly doesn't help matters.
No.
It could slide in there and knock someone's camera over.
There was an issue once. Was it Southampton back at their old stadium?
I'm glad you said that. Southampton had terrible nets back at the Dill.
Didn't Mark Hughes score for them or something? It hit the sponsorship board and came out again, and it wasn't given as a goal.
That's right.
Do you remember Sampdoria's nets in the 90s, where they're about a foot deep?
Arsenal's used to be at Highbury as well, didn't they? They seemed awfully close to the
The opposite of that was World Cup 94.
94?
6 feet.
Yeah.
So deep.
World Cup 94, one of them split in half, mate, when Diana Ross
missed the penalty.
That was in the final, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Final stages.
Her and Baggio.
Yeah. There we go. I think that's it, isn't it, Pete? What about the Absolute Radio game of the weekend?
Yeah, what Marcus is trying to say, Pete, was that long enough or will the fans moan again? will this actually moan the show's long enough?
No doubt they will moan anyway. There's no Premier League action this weekend, is there?
No, it's FA Cup this weekend.
Oh, of course,
weekend, so no about it. But right, you will be here at 5 o'clock with guests and shenanigans, friend of Marcus C. Speller.
And Pete. Yeah. And Pete Donaldson. Yeah. If you want to get in touch, the email is show at thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is at footballramble, and the website is thefootballramble.com.
Yeah, betfair.com/footballramble. I mentioned it earlier in the show, but no harm in mentioning it again. You can get a free bet matched up to £50. So if you open an account this week, stick £50 on David Nugent to score. You get your match bet, and you get a load of tasty winnings from David Nugent hitting the onion bag.
Making the difference.
What a man, what a player, what a goal, what a bet,
difference.
What a sport, what a difference.
What a way to...
to have a good time.
Pete, say goodbye.
Goodbye, Pete.
Do the same, Luke.
It's not what he asked you to say.
Jimmy.
Goodbye, Pete.
And it's goodbye from me.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.